we present Derek Nimmo, Clement Freud, Peter Jones and Amy MacDonald in just a minute. And as the Minute Waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. Hello and welcome to Just a Minute. And as you've just heard, we welcome back as our guest into the fourth chair, Amy MacDonald, to join our three regular competitors of the game. And I'm going to ask them all to speak, as usual, if they can, for just a minute on some subject that I will give them without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject on the card, if they can. We'll start the show this week with Derek Nimmo, and the subject, Derek, is standing up for my rights. Would you talk to us about that for just 1 minute, starting now?
See, I really do believe in standing up for one's rights, although I have found myself that it tends to be rather expensive. Some few months ago, I decided to stand up for my rights over the question of refuse disposal in the Royal Borough of Kensington and Chelsea, in which I live, because the streets there make the back streets look like...
Clement Freud is challenged.
Repetition of streets.
Yes, that is correct, Clement. So you have a correct challenge. You get a point for that, of course, and you take over the subject. There are 40 seconds left for standing up for my rights, starting now.
I don't terribly often stand up for my rights, though I do intend to for my last. But of all the notable occasions of people doing this, Derek Nimmo in the Royal Borough of Kensington for sheer...
Amy MacDonald has challenged.
Isn't that repetition? Because he's already said the Royal Borough of Kensington.
No, it's not repetition. He can say the Royal Borough of Kensington.
Or you could say it if you like.
It was a wrong challenge, I'm afraid. Clement gets a point for a wrong challenge. He keeps the subject. 21 seconds left, Clement, starting now.
The aforesaid actor, dustbin in one hand, unpaid rate certificate in the other.
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Deviation, it wasn't a dustbin.
I don't mind what it was. He was keeping going.
No, but he was talking about me, and it was I had an unpaid rate certificate in one hand and a Harrods bag in the other. I always carry a Harrods bag, as you know, it's inevitably.
He was, to my mind, establishing the fact, whether it was accurate or not, that you had a dustbin in one hand. Whether you did, this was the way he saw it. So he's not, strictly speaking, deviating from the subject on the card. So he keeps the subject. 15 seconds left, starting now.
Waving the Harrods bag.
Derek Nimmo's
challenge. Admitted it wasn't a dustbin. Deviation.
I think we give it to you this time, Derek. You have a point for that. There are 12 seconds for the subject, starting now.
Well, I had collected bits of paper from the street outside where I live. I pour that onto the...
Peter Jones has challenged.
The repetition of street.
Yes. And so, Peter, you have a correct challenge, and there are 7 seconds for you now to talk on standing up for my rights, starting now.
Well, it's extremely important to give a great deal of thought to this, not necessarily about one's dustbin and the disposal.
The whistle that Ian Messiter blows for us tells us that 60 seconds is up. And as you know, whoever speaks at that moment gains an extra point. This occasion was Peter Jones, so he's in second place behind Clement Freud, who has the lead at the end of that round. Clement, your turn to begin, and the subject is The Man Who Called on Me Last Night. That's a nice sort of bizarre subject, isn't it? Well, at least you can make it so if you wish. There are 60 seconds for you to do as you wish with the subject, starting now.
It was, you will recall, a dark and ugly night. And the man who called with a rate certificate in his left hand said, I believe you are an acquaintance of one Derek Nimmo, actor of the Royal Borough of Kensington, who is refusing to pay the rightful sums of money which we have demanded in quarterly installments. I said...
Derek Nimmo's challenge.
Deviation. I pay them by the year.
No. This is what he
Whether
said.
Whether you pay them... But actually, the most boroughs demand them every 6 months, so it would have been devious on any account.
That's quite untrue. They all demand them annually, but allow you to pay them in 6 monthly intervals.
All right, so you keep the subject. There are 35 seconds on The Man Who Called on Me Last Night, starting now.
He climbed in through the window, emptied...
Derek Nimmo challenged.
Well, if he knocked at the door, why did he climb in through the window?
If if we were to follow Clement Freud's reasoning, he'd say, ah, yes, but you see, but this was,
my, I know.
This was the character we're going on, the rates come in. I'm going to give it to you this time, Derek, to hell with it. There are 31 seconds for The Man Who Called on Me Last Night, starting now.
The Man Who Called on Me Last Night was a Morris dancer, covered in all kinds of lovely ribbons and little bells in his hat and flowers round his ankles, and he was awfully jolly, and he sang songs and played a small guitar out in the garden while a pussycat sat on the wall and went meow, because they do, because they don't very keen, you know, on that particular kind of chap who comes around playing the aforementioned musical instruments. And then the funniest thing happened.
Peter Jones has challenged.
Repetition.
Of what?
The musical instruments that he aforementioned. Because he must have aforementioned them, otherwise he wouldn't have said so.
But he didn't specify the musical instruments before, you see. He didn't repeat the word, so he keeps the subject. There are 6 seconds left. The man
have
who called him
an
last
ear
night,
test
Derek,
later.
Starting now.
He said, can I have a plate of tripe immediately? And I said, of course, sir. As you were so kind to visit me on this lovely night, I'd be delighted to give you anything.
Derek Nimmer was then speaking when the whistle went. He gained a number of points in that round. He's moved into the lead alongside Clement Freud. Peter Jones, your turn to begin. The subject is the inescapable truth. Can you talk to us on that subject starting now?
Well, I suppose the inescapable truth is that we are not going to be here forever. And so, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, listeners, viewers, and licensees, holders of television sets, radios, and so on, I'm now addressing you. With this rather solemn thought in mind, that everything...
Amy MacDonald, challenge.
Oh, I definitely think it's hesitation, because he keeps, you know...
Stopping,
he's
you mean?
Talking like that all the time.
I thought he was doing it rather well, actually, Amy. He didn't really pause, and there was a silence, you know. That is hesitation. He was keeping going, even if he was giving a sort of jerky delivery. It's probably his way...
I don't do that, darling.
No, you jerk in different ways, and it's very attractive. Peter, you have the subject still, and there are 40 seconds left, starting
ask
now.
Ask Amy. Well, he was going to ask when Amy last gave a jerky delivery.
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Oh, he funked it,
gave.
Oh, yes, you did give a bit too much then. I'm sorry, Peter. So,
thanks,
Derek, you were listening well. You've got 36 seconds for the inescapable truth starting now.
I face the inescapable truth every morning when I get up and look in my shaving mirror and I see myself, a middle-aged Anglo-Saxon, rapidly fading, getting a little bit paunchy, rather jowly with grey hair.
Amy MacDonald has challenged.
Oh, deviation is just not true, is it?
Absolutely. And for such a gallant challenge as that, I can only award you a point, Amy.
And if he can actually see his paunch in his shaving mirror... then he must be a contortionist.
Amy, you have the subject now. With 24 seconds left, Amy, the inescapable truth starting now.
Ah, well, I don't think, you see, that Derek Nimmer was telling the inescapable truth when he told us about the Morris dancer in the garden eating tripe. I think...
Clement Freud challenged.
Hesitation.
I was breathing, darling. My girl has to breathe.
Oh, you breathe very beautifully. Don't you think she breathes so beautifully? So, Amy, we will not allow that one. Give you a point for a wrong challenge and 14 seconds on the inescapable truth starting now.
The inescapable truth is, I have got to sit here, imagine this, confronted with Clement Freud, Peter Jones and Derek Nimmer, who are all absolutely and totally brilliant, and I've got to keep...
So, Amy MacDonald, speaking when the whistle went, gained an extra point, and she's now in second place behind Derek Nimmer. She's one behind him, and she... Oh, no, she's equal with Clement Freud, and Peter Jones is in fourth place. Amy, your turn to begin. The subject is mountaineering. I'm sure you've done a great deal of it. So would you tell us something about it, if you can, starting now?
Right. Well, I actually did do some mountaineering once upon a time. Mind you, I wasn't expecting to do this. I was told I was going for a walk. And suddenly, you see, we came upon this mountain. And I did go up the mountain, but unfortunately... But I'm not repeating myself, darling, because I'm saying mountain.
You mustn't repeat... Another word, but only the word on the card. Derek, there are 43 seconds for mountaineering starting now.
Oh, my goodness, the fear, the excitement of mountaineering. The palms of my hands go moist when I even think about it. Only a few weeks...
Amy McDonald has challenged.
Deviation. I mean, he's not going up the mountain on his hands, is he?
No, but he said it's when he thinks about it his hands go moist.
No. Very good challenge.
There are 35 seconds, Amy, for mountaineering starting now.
You see, I wish I'd been told about this because I was wearing the wrong shoes. And I don't know if you know how important it is to wear the right sort of attire on one's feet. But I was wearing what is commonly known...
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of wearing.
Yes, you having got round the attire on your feet, you went back to wearing. Sorry. Mountaineering is with you, Clement. There are 21 seconds left, starting now.
Mountaineering, as Amy McDonald so rightly said, is going for a walk up a mountain. And...
Derek Nimmo's challenge.
Mountaineering is going for a climb up a mountain. It's not going for a walk up a mountain.
That's a good challenge. Yeah, I think that is a good one. So there are...
You really think that's a good challenge?
I do think so, yes.
No, I don't think it's a good challenge, Clement. No.
Ask the audience.
No, I'm going to give it to Derek Nimmo. 14 seconds.
You have to walk up.
From my base camp at the foothill of the Andes, I started out ice pick in hand. 47 Sherpas followed me.
Clement Freud's challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
He can't have sweaty hands with an ice pick in his hand.
That's what I was thinking about it.
No, he did establish it was the thought of mountaineering that made his hands go sweaty.
Oh, I see.
There are 9.5 seconds on mountaineering, Derek, starting now.
Through the snow, we climbed higher and even to a greater distance up above the mountain. We saw an eagle, a black one, coming towards us.
Derek Nimmo was once again speaking when the whistle went and has increased his lead. Derek, it's also your turn to begin, and the subject is porridge. Can you talk to us on... And we give you 60 seconds as usual, and you start now.
Apart from haggis, I suppose porridge is the only Scottish contribution to the gastronomic arts. In fact, the British...
Clement Freud.
Deviation. The Scots are the most erudite practitioners of the art of baking.
Yes, and I agree with you, Clement, and you have 51 seconds on porridge, starting now.
Porridge is mostly eaten by Sherpas in the Andes while they're mountaineering. They find it's incredibly easy to warm up, and they have salt, if they're Scottish, otherwise milk and sugar, hot.
Derek Nimbus challenge.
Well, Sherpas can't be Scottish.
No, I quite agree. 39 seconds for porridge, starting now.
Going to Edinburgh on the train, I think there's nothing nicer than having a plate of porridge when you get up for breakfast. I do like travelling overnight. And there one finds a steaming bowl, and you put on it some sugar or cream or salt, if you prefer it. And as you look through the window, the world goes by. Well, not the whole of it, of course. Just a little bit.
Clement Freud, a challenge.
Deviation. It's the train that goes by. The world is... The world has ever remained static.
A very good challenge. 20 seconds, Clement, for porridge with you starting now.
I find it very difficult to tell the difference between porridge and Harris Tweed, although I've very seldom seen suits made of porridge.
Amy McDonald's challenge.
I mean, that's just ridiculous.
You can tell the difference between porridge and Harris Tweed.
Of course.
Tweed.
And I'm Scottish, you see, so I should know.
You can get a nice tweed in oatmeal.
Give Peter Jones a bonus point for that one. And Amy McDonald has the subject. And you have 12 seconds to talk about porridge starting now.
Oh, gosh, yes. Well, you see, it tends to bring me out in heat spots. I don't like it very much. But do you know, if you're very naughty, you do something wicked, you sometimes have to go to a strange place and do a porridge.
Clement, your turn to begin. The subject, cloves.
What? Sorry?
Cloves.
Is your diction so poor? I can't quite tell you.
I will say it again. Cloves. That can't be clothes. Clothes and cloves. Someone in the audience said, what you put in apples. Right. Clement, would you talk on that subject for 60 seconds, starting now?
One of my favorite stories as a young child was related to me by my nanny and dealt with an emperor and his new clothes. It was about a king who was tired of nutmeg and cinnamon, and his courtesans, and particularly a number of villainous musicians, came along and offered him a completely unprecedented and never-before-seen set of clothes, which came from Madagascar, which is now called the Republic of Malagasy, where, in fact, all clothes come from. They are an enormous and interesting and violent political issue, because the prosperity of that country is derived totally from the spice, which, in fact, being on the card, I can mention again, clove. It's not the island itself, but one very nearby, which has all the clove plantations, which bring in such fantastic sums of money.
Well, there was an expert. He kept going for the full 60 seconds, so he gets a point for speaking when the whistle went and a bonus point for not being interrupted. So, Clement Freud, you are now only 1 point behind our leader, who is still Derek Nimmo. Peter Jones, your turn to begin, and the subject is my aspidistra. Whether you have one or not, will you tell us something about it in 60 seconds, starting now?
Well, since I don't actually have an aspidistra and never have possessed that plant, it must be something that I can look forward to. It is something in the future. And my aspidistra...
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Do something.
I'm afraid there were, Peter.
No,
Derek,
really?
Derek, you have the subject and 47 seconds on my aspidistra starting now.
It is planted in a lovely stoneware bowl made near Aspidistra from clay mined in the same area. And it is a very beautiful plant. The aspidistra comes from the Greek word meaning spear. That will give you some indication of the shape of the foliage contained upon this thing. Now, I polish it very frequently with oil and vinegar.
Peter Jones, a challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, I think so as well. All right, audience, I can hear as well. So, Peter, you have 17 seconds for my aspidistra starting now.
My aspidistra will have to be tall and pink and smell of cologne. It will naturally be made of plastic, because since I'm away...
Amy MacDonald, child.
Well, that's not true, is it? And it can't, they're never made of plastic.
Yes, you have. I'm afraid there's a whole shop, alas, devoted to making plastic flowers.
It's plastic aspidistras?
Oh, yeah.
You can make a plastic... he can make a plastic Amy MacDonald if we want it. But who wants that when we've got the real thing? 5 seconds on my aspidistra, Peter, starting now.
Because I shouldn't be able to water it during my absence, and I don't like depriving plants.
Well, Peter Jones got some points in that round. And Amy MacDonald, your turn to begin on the subject, how I choose my clothes.
Not the things you put in soup.
The garments that you wear, clothes. 60 seconds starting now.
Well, I find shopping actually rather boring. So, what I do is, I go to the shop... Oh, I've done it again. I didn't do it. Can I have it back? I said shopping and then shop.
I know you different. Did. Derek, can't you have it back?
Yes, of course.
Of course you can have it back. Right.
Thank you.
So, Amy, you have 52 seconds, having got it back, on how I choose my clothes, starting now.
It's the establishment, you see, that I think will have the sort of... what's it I'm looking for? And then I go in there and I rummage through things and I pick out something that I think is rather me. Put it on, decide whether it's not me or somebody else, if it's that other person.
Jane Emmett,
no hesitation before she got to the other person.
Yes.
Well, as I didn't give it to her last time, I can't say I can possibly give it to her this time. No. Amy, you carry on with 37 seconds on how I choose my clothes starting now.
Oh, you're outrageous.
I know. It's marvellous, isn't it? Go on. Go on.
Then if I think it's really more...
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Repetition of think.
Yes, I know. I couldn't give that against her if I didn't give the other one against her, so Amy continues. And 31 seconds on how I choose my clothes, Amy, starting now.
I adore black, but sometimes I can get away with white.
The listener... listeners, the reason that the audience are laughing and they're clapping is because Derek Nimmo has now decided to bring out a sandwich and have his lunch, because he realises there's no point in challenging any further in this round. So, Amy, you continue. There are 21 seconds on how I choose my clothes, starting now.
I think I look wonderful in pink, green, red, orange, puce, vermilion, patchwork, stripes, shorts, longs, broads, silk, chiffon. Oops, sorry.
What all over me? You're saying water at me.
Well, for the first time, someone has got a bonus point for not speaking when the whistle went. Amy MacDonald was not speaking when the whistle went. Nobody else had challenged her, so she gets an extra point, and she's now in third place alongside Peter Jones. Oh, well, I thought... Well, she's moved forward anyway.
Are we allowed to join in again now?
Yes, yes, I think we will join in. And the subject is now with you. The subject is speleology. Would you talk to us about that for 60 seconds, if you can, starting now?
Speleology, I feel, is going to be increasingly popular with the present cast of Rates, because one will have to return to the cave. I can see no alternative to this, because if one tries to live in any kind of habitable dwelling, the price for so doing is enormous today. So I am becoming a fervent speleologist. Every weekend I go around looking for handily adjacent things, caverns to live within. And I have found one in deepest Wiltshire, which I won't tell you about.
Clement Freud has challenged.
Why does he go on looking for them, then?
I think he was going to explain, so he wasn't strictly deviating from speleology.
It's quite clear that every week he went, actually, I found one. I mean,
well, he's probably going to let them. He'll be an absentee cave lord.
Derek, there are 27 seconds of speleology starting now.
Because I once met a monk just outside Bangkok who actually explained to me the advantage of this particular form of dwelling. And since then, I have found that Gloucestershire ones even are superior to the one near Devizes. And I will be very pleased to give to any member of this audience after the show postcards giving rates and the address where this place can be found. And so it's a bit damp.
Jones has
challenged.
He can't give particulars of the rates because they haven't been assessed.
No, they're not on the council rating register yet.
Which is
you're
the purpose
right.
of moving there, he told us.
So there are 4 seconds
apart
for you.
Apart from this monk in Bangkok who seemed to have nothing to do with it at all, what he was doing in this story about devices, I don't know.
He actually, comes into it quite often, doesn't he?
Yes, I was going to say. If you right.
Regulars of this programme will remember the monk from previous episodes.
Yes. He always meets him just outside Bangkok. It's never just inside. You notice. There's a very good reason for that.
I think I'll suggest to him, Mester, that one week that Derek Nimmo has the subject of the monk outside Bangkok. Speleologist with you, Peter. You have 3 seconds on speleology starting now.
Get a good ice pick and a friendly monk and go to the Andes and make your own.
Oh, no, Clement... Clement challenged us half a second before.
He fluffed, but he didn't.
No, he didn't. He has half a second on speleology starting now. We've come to the end of the game, and let me tell you what the situation is. Well, Amy MacDonald finished in fourth place, but she did have a lot of points. She did very well. Her clothes got her way ahead there. But she was just behind Peter Jones, who was in third place, and he was 2 points behind our equal winners this week, Derek Nimmo and Clement Freud. We... I do hope you've enjoyed Just a Minute. From all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The programme was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by John Lloyd.